Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Suk Lee, Vice President of Design Ecosystem Development at Intel Foundry Services. He has over 35 years of experience in the semiconductor industry with engineering, marketing, and general management positions at LSI Logic, Cadence, TI, Magma, and TSMC. At TSMC, he was responsible for managing the third-party partners making up the OIP ecosystem, and he created the OIP Ecosystem Forum, which is the premier ecosystem event in the foundry industry. Welcome to the podcast, Suk.
Hey, thanks very much, Dan. Very nice to be talking to you today.
Yeah, so can you tell us what originally brought you to the semiconductor industry?
Well, that's an interesting story. So, like any good young Asian fellow of my generation, I started learning the piano at a young age, and my teacher was this grand dame from Manhattan. She had studied under Alfred Cortot, and she really gave me a feeling for classical romantic music. So I had wanted to be a classical pianist, and I was doing pretty well in city competitions, but not, winning them. So fortunately, I realized I'm going to end up in a piano bar somewhere, destitute for the rest of my life. And since I'm engineering inclined, I decided, well, I'll go into engineering. And so from there, into the semiconductor industry.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. And so you found out when you went to MIT that you decided you wanted to be in electrical engineering, or did it happen earlier?
No, I've always liked tinkering with stuff and taking it apart and trying to understand, what inside my tin toy was making it tick. So I knew I was probably going to end up in engineering. When I got to MIT, my dad is a mechanical engineer, and so he wanted me to become a mechanical engineer. So, of course, I went into electrical.
Right. Yeah. So you have an interesting background. You started semiconductor manufacturing and design in LSI Logic, and then you went to EDA, and then you went to Foundry. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah. So after I did a bachelor's at MIT, and I went back to Canada, where I grew up, to the University of Toronto, I got interested in chip design. I actually did some custom chips as part of my master's thesis. And so I ended up at this place, and don't forget, this is 1985. The semiconductor industry was really, starting to take off or taking off. And I ended up at this place called the Ontario Center for Microelectronics, which was chartered with helping grow electronics in the Ottawa Valley area. And I was a design engineer there. My boss left OCM slightly after I started, so that was a little alarming, but then he ended up at LSI Logic and recruited me into there, and I was at LSI Logic for 10 years. So after LSI Logic, after 10 years there, Wilf Corrigan used to say, if you've been doing the same thing for 10 years, it's time for you to find something new. So just as I was starting to look around, Mr. Mike Gianfagna contacted me, and I ended up at Cadence. So I went into EDA for a while and quite enjoyed that experience.
Yeah, it's not much different from what I went through. I mean, we're the same age. I started in semiconductors because computer companies, I was a computer guy, and computer companies made their own semiconductors back then, in the early 80s and such. And then I went into EDA and spent a lot of time in IP companies. But a similar journey, but LSI Logic, that was quite a job back then. That was their heyday, right?
It was absolutely their heyday. I started off at LSI Logic Canada. I was up there for 5 years. I ended up running the design centers there, and then I transitioned down to the U.S. I was in the U.S. engineering team, U.S. field engineering team for a while, and then I transitioned into marketing. And to be absolutely honest about it, there are two reasons I went into marketing. One, I like to understand the way things work, and I really wanted to understand people. And frankly, after 100 tapeouts, zero defect rate, I must say, I was like, I'm never doing another tapeout again. So I want to be the guy creating work and opportunity, and not the guy, doing the tapeout.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I did the same. I went into marketing and sales and business development, and it just gave me a bigger picture of things. And it was a great transition. But you went into EDA, and then you went into the foundry business. So what was that transition like? Because the EDA business back then was fairly early on.
Yeah, so I was in EDA and IP for, I can't remember, over 10 years. And after 10 years, you know, I was like, well, okay, it's been 10 years again, so what should I do? And I was thinking, well, you know, I know what I know and I know what I don't know. So I know semiconductors, so I kind of want to go home. So I was thinking about where do I want to go? And at the end of my tenure at LSI Logic, I had predicted that in the future, there would only be three big semiconductor companies in the world. TSMC was one of those I predicted. So I called them up and they're like, yeah, we'd like you to come over. So I was very happy to join TSMC and I was there for a total of 14 years.
Yeah, I remember Mike Cianfagna, you mentioned Mike. Mike and I, when you went over to TSMC, we're like, wow, what a transition. How long is he going to last? So you beat the odds.
Well, it turns out I found out afterwards, yeah, there was a over-under in the ecosystem on how long until I wouldn't be able to take it anymore. And so, yeah, I beat the odds.
It was 5 years. The over-under. Yeah, so I was working with TSMC when you started, and it was just an amazing experience working with you and working at TSMC. I mean, you know, you accomplished so much. And, you know, it really brings us to the big question is, you know, why did you leave TSMC and go to Intel Foundry Services?
Yeah, and that is the elephant in the room, right? So first of all, TSMC was an awesome company to work at. It was really something to participate in the ride up to their position today. And I think in my small way, help them do it. Intel had contacted me a couple of times during my journey. I thought, well, you know, I appreciate it, but I haven't finished my mission here. And the last time they called me, I had felt like, well, you know, I've accomplished my mission. I built what I thought needed to be built for TSMC. I trained up my team. I didn't think they needed me anymore because they're just superb people doing a great job. So when Intel contacted me, I thought, well, you know, this might be another chance to help build something. And, you know, it's also a good opportunity to get my family back to California. So it's kind of everything converged at the same time.
Yeah, I agree completely. And it's another big challenge, right? And clearly you're up for challenges. So what is the great opportunity that you see at Intel Foundry Services?
I think that the great opportunity is that there's only three leading node manufacturers in the world. And I think this is IFES opportunity to provide the kind of semiconductor capabilities U.S. customers want and, in fact, the U.S. needs. So I think that the timing is just right, and it's a great opportunity for both work and life.
Semiconductors started in the United States, right? And so I think it's a good effort, and I think Intel Foundry Services can be, you know, a key part of the ecosystem here in the U.S. But Intel has tried the foundry business at least once or more times and didn't necessarily succeed. So why do you think it's going to be different this time?
Yeah, that's the key question. And, you know me, I certainly asked that during the interview process. And I got the right answer, which is that Intel recognized that it needed to broaden its base of revenues in order to be able to continue to afford the capitalization it takes for advanced nodes and moving into what Pat calls Intel internal foundry is, I believe, the right answer in order for Intel to expand its economic base and continue to provide that fuel for continued capital expenditures.
So what is your job at IFS? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. I run what's called formerly the Ecosystem Development Office. My job is to help create a IFS ecosystem of EDA, IP, design service partners to provide the kind of design chain that foundry customers are used to enjoying.
Sounds good. I mean, you've done it before. You can do it again, right?
I certainly will do my very best to do it, yes.
So what does the next 5 years look like, do you know, for the foundry business? I mean, you know, TSMC really is kind of in a monopoly position at the moment, you know, with the FinFETs. But, you know, we're ending the FinFET era and we're going to start the gate-all-around era. And I think it's a whole new playing field. You know, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that is exactly the opportunity. There's an inflection point, and we're not confused, right? TSMC is the dominant player in the marketplace. They're going to be for a long time, but there's always plenty of opportunity for growth in second spot. And Pat has talked about publicly, our goal is to be the second foundry provider within 10 years. And I think that's a reasonable and achievable target. So you asked me about 5 years. My personal planning horizon is always 3 years out. So my three-year plan is to get that virtuous economic cycle going with our ecosystem partners, where they're working with IFS because we are helping them build their business and they're helping us build our business by both of us serving our customers.
Well, one thing I know that is different this time around is you've created a great team. There's a lot of people from outside of Intel that have done this before, that are from TSMC, that are from Samsung. I mean, you know, I was just looking at the team you've assembled and it's quite impressive.
Yeah, a great group of people from a varied base of companies, but they are very knowledgeable about the foundry industry, have been experts in their field for several years at other companies, and we have a good talent base, so I think we're well positioned the third time around.
Yeah, third time's a charm. I tell you, the industry really needs a leading edge foundry that they can trust, and you know, I think Intel and TSMC certainly can share that market space very easily. In fact, I would give you definitely under 10 years of becoming the number two foundry, because I think people are just really looking for an alternative to TSMC and Samsung. So I think this is a perfect positioning, and I wish you well. And we definitely have to keep talking, get people informed and updated about what Intel Foundry Services is doing, because sometimes it doesn't get out there quite enough.
Yeah, we've had a lot of customer interest, and certainly the opportunity is there. And yeah, I'd be happy to come back and talk more about our progress.
Thanks, Sue. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks very much, Darren. It's good talking to you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.